Your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians is really the most personal of Paul's inspired letters. In 2 Corinthians, he shares his personal heart. I remember teaching on Philippians one time, and I was thinking at that time, oh, that's a personal letter. That must be Paul's most personal letter. But somebody corrected me, a good teacher, and said, oh, no, it's 2 Corinthians. And boy, he was absolutely right. There's some things I learned after Bible college, amen? And 2 Corinthians is one of those very personal, share your heart for the ministry type things where Paul is sharing, you know, what's on his heart. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we're going tonight, verses 10 through 12, the great apostle to the Gentiles shares a personal recipe for you to experience the life of Jesus Christ being displayed in your own mortal body while you live in this mortal body. You can share and experience the beautiful life of Christ, which is a great thing. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12, the apostle lets you know in a paradoxical recipe for what you need to experience Christ's life in your life and through your life, and in a way that will impact others. And, you know, when you're born again, you are born again in your spirit. Is your body born again? Not really. Your body is still a mortal body. That means it's subject to death. Your body is subject to sin and sinful desires in your body. You're saved in your spirit. You're born again in your spirit, but your body has not yet been saved. It will not be saved until Jesus Christ comes back again. Then it will be free from death. It will be free from sin, and your mortal body will be there. But nevertheless, even though your body's not yet glorified, you can still experience, listen to me, in and through your body, the Lord Jesus Christ using you and helping others through you and impacting the lives of others through you. And that's what God wants. And yet you still don't have a glorified body. That won't happen until the second coming. Here's what Paul said about that. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. What's a mystery? It's a secret that God has revealed. And God revealed it in 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 54 through the Apostle Paul. He says, the mystery is we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Boy, I can't wait till that day. Amen. We'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, what's he talking about? We shall be changed. He's kind of thinking of himself as one of them, but actually he won't. He has to die, and he already died, and he'll have to be raised. But here he's talking about people that have not died. They'll be alive until the second coming of Christ. And so they'll never see the undertaker. They'll meet the uppertaker, and their bodies will be changed from this mortal body into a glorified body. I hurt my arm lifting weights, and I have to lay off a little bit, and I feel the soreness in it. Now, when we have that glorified body, there'll be no aches. There'll be no pains. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no sin. There'll be no death. These bodies will be changed permanently. We're looking for the salvation of our mortal body. Amen. Our souls are saved. We've been saved, soul and spirit, through the new birth. But the body has not been changed. He said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. That means no decay, no tooth decay, no decay of any organs of your body, no decay, and no death at all. And that is coming. Now, when that event happens, you're going to experience personal face-to-face fellowship with the Lord. And you'll be able to do that because he has a glorified body, and you'll be able to face the Lord, who is both God and man. He's all that God is in the shape of a man. And you'll be able to experience that fellowship with the Lord. Can you imagine that? It's hard to imagine face to face. But even now, get this, even now, while you live in this dying body, This body that's subject to saying the wrong words and sinfully so, thinking the wrong thoughts sinfully so, feeling the wrong emotions sinfully so, and this body that's subject to sickness, disease, death, there is still a way right now for the beautiful life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be displayed in your mortal body and through your mortal body. And you might say to me, well, Pastor, how can I experience the beautiful life of Jesus Christ in my mortal body right now? And in the message tonight, I'm going to give you the paradoxical recipe for you to experience the life of Christ in your mortal body right in the here and the now. So that, you know, I like it when I suck on mints and people say, you have minty breath. I can smell mint. You know, maybe you put on some perfume or some aftershave or some men's cologne or whatever it is. And people say, oh man, that's a nice fragrance. But here we're talking about the fragrance of the beautiful life of Christ coming through your body so that people can see it and experience that. And this is how you can have that. And I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. And I'm going to give you the recipe. It simply is the title of my sermon, You Must Keep Dying to Live. You must keep dying to live. And that number one, it which means that you are to share in two aspects of Christ's person and work for you. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Let's read that verse. You follow in your copy of God's Word. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, he's giving two things here. Two things, Brother Z, that he's giving that must be experienced by the believer. And one of the men tell me in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 4, what are the two aspects of Christ's person and work that every believer is called upon to share in the mortal body and experience in your mortal life? What is it?
The dying and the living.
Yeah, the dying of the Lord Jesus and then the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus. Those two things you are called upon to experience. I, in my own personal life, have experienced those two things and do experience those two things. And it's part of the regular Christian life. Do you understand that? So you, if you're going to have the beautiful life of Christ manifest in and through your body, the fragrance of Christ, the perfume of Christ on you, you must, listen, keep dying to live. And number one, that means that you're to share in these two aspects of Christ's death and then Christ's glorious living again and resurrection. And this teaching that you are to get to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ in the two aspects of his person and work. So as you get to know him, guess what? You're going to share in these two realities that our Savior experienced. You're going to experience what the Savior experienced. And I like Philippians chapter 3 where these two things are brought out. 3:10, I'll quote it. It says, Paul is speaking, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see, he is saying there that in getting to know Jesus, and I might add there, making Jesus known through your life, that you've got to share in the power of his resurrection. But to do that, you've got to share in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Do you know anything about that? Do you have any understanding of that? Because that is a very important thing. Those two things, if you are to experience what we're talking about, the beautiful life of Christ, and it's very important. Now remember that the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ led him to where he would be crucified for our sins. Now, Jesus didn't go to the cross in his own power. He came as a man. He laid aside the voluntary use of his divine attributes. He didn't use those superpowers, so to speak, voluntarily. He laid that aside. He made it subject to use of his divine power. He made it subject, listen, to the Holy Spirit of God. He yielded himself to the Holy Spirit of God. I like what Brother Jack Howell said. He said, 7 times a day, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God. And I yield the members of my body to the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm reminded, Lord, lead me to do and think and say what Jesus Christ would do and think and say. Were he here in my body today, working through me? And you know what? Have you been doing that? Have you been talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I yield myself to you throughout the day? I'm talking about not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday, not just on Thursday. All throughout the day. Do you do that? You see, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in you. And Jesus Christ himself had the Holy Spirit in him as a man. Do you know that? And he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says this about Jesus Christ in Hebrews 9:14. It says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. You see, he did that offering of himself. Jesus was a priest, but the offering was his own body and blood to save you. And he did it through the leading of the Holy Spirit. He turned himself over to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you're a son of God, a son of Jesus, you are led by the Spirit of God. And do you yield to him consciously throughout the day? You should, and throughout the week, and live a yielding life to say, Holy Spirit of God, I want to do and say and think what Jesus would, were he in my body. And how should I treat my spouse based on that? How should I treat my children based on that? And he will lead you according to the teaching of the Word of God. The living Word of God is in heaven, but the written Word of God is here, so you can get to know the Lord. And if he leads you, now listen, if he leads you, he's going to lead you in experiencing the dying that Jesus experienced. And so the point is, if you want to know Christ more and more, you must yield to the Holy Spirit, who will lead you again and again into that place, listen, where you must feel your own weakness, where you must feel your own powerlessness. Because the Bible said he was crucified in what? Weakness. Weakness. See, we want to always feel powerful. But no, if you yield to the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, he will lead you into the place where you feel weak, where you feel powerless to do what you need to do. And you will then be dependent on him for strength. Do you put yourself in that place? Are you willing to go down that road? But what you need to know him in these two aspects. And so the Apostle Paul experienced getting to know Christ in that aspect of his life and ministry, so that you must be willing to submit yourself to that kind of leading. But secondly, under the idea of these two aspects, not only did he get to know Christ in his dying, but secondly, remember the Spirit of Christ also raised Jesus from the dead and demonstrated his glorious power in doing that. You know what? It must have been something for him to be led of the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, knowing he would be arrested. To be led of the Spirit to Jerusalem and to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that they would come for him and that they would put him in a basement. I was in that basement there and saw the walls of the basement where they incarcerated him that night and beat him and abused him. The Jewish leaders did that for that whole night before they led him down to Pilate's hall there and abused him with the Roman soldiers. He knew that he would be led to that place of ridicule, of shame, of weakness. And yet he followed the Holy Spirit. You know, I heard a lady say one time, I just can't put up with my husband anymore. And the pastor said to her, well, The Bible says that the Lord was obedient unto death. She says, how much longer do I have to put up with my husband? He said, the Bible says the Lord was obedient unto death. Amen? So, amen. You tell Marie, I got something encouraging for her, friend. So, that's what the Bible says. He was obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that was leading him to Jerusalem, then leading him to get crucified of all things, and then leading him, you see, even to have that kind of death, which was a very shameful death where he was stripped naked and ashamed. But that same Holy Spirit that led him to that, here's what it says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. So, do you want to know the power of the Holy Spirit to experience what Jesus experienced in his resurrection? And if you do that, guess what? God will use you to get other people saved. God will use you to touch other people's lives. So they'll say, you bless my life. You impacted my life. You made a difference in my life. And I believe every one of you who are born again Christians, that's what God wants. You all have your part to play in getting people saved. You all have your part to play in affecting people's lives with the beautiful life of Christ. Not only in you, but impacting their life so that they will come to know Christ and know him better. And so if you're going to experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ using you to do that, you've also got to be willing to be led into these situations where you're going to experience weakness and you're going to feel your powerlessness and you're going to feel that you're delivered over to death. That's what the Lord did. And then he actually was crucified and he was laid in that grave. But man, how it must have been when the Holy Spirit, then because he was obedient to death, raised him back up. Man, when he went out and he could walk through walls, amen. When he could go to heaven at a speed well beyond the speed of light, he could go to heaven and back, I mean, which he did after he was raised from the dead. For 40 days, he experienced the power of his resurrection ministry. And he never got tired. He never got sick. He could never die again. And listen, the Bible says that you can experience, listen to me, that power even in your mortal body that's subject to sin, that's subject to sickness. You can experience it, and God wants you to experience it. But you have to be willing to know him in his dying in order to know him in the power that he will manifest in your life and through your life. So you must, the recipe is, you must keep dying to live, which means you are to share in two aspects of Christ's person and work for you. Second point, which means that you are to be willing to be led, listen to this, repeatedly into those situations that requires death to your own ability and wisdom. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 10 and 11. And I just want to focus in on one word in both those verses. Verse 10 of chapter 4 says, always bearing about the dying. Always. Notice the word always. And then the verse 11, for which we live are always delivered unto death. Now, obviously, Paul didn't die physically every day. He didn't die physically. He did die at least once that we know of before he literally died at the cutting off of his head and became about 40 pounds lighter very suddenly. That happened. But I was thinking about that when I was thinking of Marie Antoinette. She lost her head. Amen. And we had Marie Antoinette here today. But, he lost his head, but he died before that and came back. But listen, he is not talking about physically dying. He's talking here about spiritually going through a death-like experience in following the Lord Jesus Christ. He is talking about that experience of having that, and my life and ministry has to be, listen to this, a repeated giving up of my own will, my own strength, my own wisdom, to yield what the Lord wants me to do. And I'll tell you, it's not a comfortable place. Just like going to the cross wasn't comfortable for the Lord. He set his face like a flint to do it. There are many things, listen to me, that I am led to do by God that's not comfortable for me to do. It's way outside my comfort zone. In fact, it's outside of my own ability. It's outside of my own strength. It's outside of what my own mind would conceive. And it's being led into that place of experiencing what Jesus experienced when he gave himself up to die. And sometimes it's a threat of physical death. That could be part of it. Sometimes I preach and I get in a sound mind afterward and I say, what did I say? I'm going to be killed for that. I'm going to be arrested for that. I literally go through that. But I'm just saying that it means that you are to be willing to be led repeatedly, to get this, into those situations that requires death to your ability, to your wisdom, and possibly to your own physical life. And that's why the Bible teaches that you must die daily. Didn't the Bible say that? If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to take up your cross daily. Deny yourself, take up your cross, deny and follow him. You know what that means? Dying and experiencing dying of the Lord Jesus means that you give up yielding to your sinful self, right? Now, Jesus didn't have a sinful self, but he did have a self. And he could have been preserved from going to the cross. He didn't have to go. He went willingly. He went willingly. And if you're going to get to know the Lord and have the life of Christ in your, listen to me, in your, wake up, in your mortal body, listen, you're going to have to be willing, you're going to have to be willing to yield yourself and to do what God wants you to do. And you know what? So many believers, they're going through the motions. They're not consciously, you're not a stick or a stone. You're a human being. I said you're a human being. And you need to consciously and willingly yield yourself to God, not to do what you feel like doing, not to do what you're comfortable with doing, but to do what the Lord wants you to do. And are you willing to do that? And listen, if you're not willing to do that and you're not doing that, you will know very little of the power of the life of Christ in your body. You'll know very little of the Lord using you in a real way to get others saved and to help others that are living for God. You're not going to experience that. And so I believe a second part of this means and is very important for you to understand. Not only does it mean you're to share these two aspects of Christ's person and work, but it means you are to be willing, listen, to repeatedly be led into those situations that requires giving up, giving your will and your own sinful self. Are you doing that? Are you doing that on a daily basis? Are you doing that throughout the day? And that's what the Bible teaches. Have you been willing to do that again and again? If you refuse to follow the Lord and you follow him only when you can depend upon your own wisdom, your own strength, your own financial resources, then you'll not impact others with the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because you're operating, my dear friend, in the dedicated energy of the flesh. And that stinks to high heaven in the nostrils of God. And it won't be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Only what you do in and through the Lord will be rewarded. And so, what am I saying? If you want to be rewarded, if you want to be blessed, you've got to be like that corn of wheat. The Bible says a corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. If it doesn't fall into the ground and die, it abides what? Alone. Doesn't impact other people. I remember Dr. Wendell Kempton preached a message on this in chapel. And perhaps it applies to you tonight. Listen up and think about it. Listen up. He said many Christian workers have fallen into the ground, but few of them have died. Many Christian workers have fallen into the ground, but few of them have died. Are you willing to be led into that place of death? And I get people in church, you know, I'm in church, I'm preaching, they got the cell phone on. They're doing this and they're doing that, and they're just here in body, but they're not here in mind. And that's wrong. That is not to experience what the apostle is talking about here. And that's not what you're called to. And it's not what I'm called to. And I'm just saying, listen, you must keep dying to live, which means you're to share in the two aspects of Christ's person and work, his death, and then his glorious, powerful resurrection. And it means you're to be willing to be led, listen, repeatedly into those situations that require death to your ability, your wisdom, your way of doing things. Lastly, you must keep dying to live, which means that you are experiencing God's, or you're experiencing people sharing how God is using you to impact their lives for Christ. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about where people are saying to you, you are being used in my life. You're making an impact in my life. Maybe it's a new convert. Maybe it's somebody that God is using you in their life. Listen, many Christians live their whole life. They never lead anybody to the Lord. Never have that. Never have that fruit. And never have the fruit that remains where they get saved and baptized and grow in the Lord. And you're not going to experience that unless you have this. Now look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:12. This is the apostle speaking, but it can be true of you. It says in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 4, I'll read it. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. What's he saying? He's saying, I am willing to be led into the place of death. I'm willing to led in the place of death by being led by the Spirit so I can impact you with the life of Christ. So I can lead you to Christ or bless you with the life of Christ. And he had that impact because he was willing, listen, continually, repeatedly to be led of the Spirit into the place where it meant death to his own ability, his own wisdom, his own strength. And he did that over and over again. I've shared with you before, I'll share it again. I remember when I was in college, we had praise chaplain. A lot of kids would stand up and they love to give praise because in our college we would praise God for our Christian service and praise God for leading people to the Lord. And it was always fun to, you know, tell people you've led to the Lord and people would clap for you and all that. And so I remember one time I was getting ready to share in college and I saw these students standing up and telling about their Christian service, and I'd had my Christian service, and it was like the still small voice of the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to stand up and tell about zits in your life. Huh? I want you to stand up and praise me for allowing you to have zits on your back and so forth and so on. And I'm like, yeah, but there's girls out there. I'm embarrassed to do that. What do the teachers think? They think I'm a nut. Well, the Bible says, be a fool for Christ. Amen. And so I lost that argument. And I realized God wanted me to do that. And I stood up and I shared that testimony and how it humbled me and how it made me feel weak and so forth and so on. That was the last thing I wanted to do. And I remember people coming up to me after that, say how God used that more than all the testimonies I'd given about this and that and the other thing. They were so blessed. I had beautiful women come up and share how God blessed them through that testimony. You see, it's not you. It's not me. It's not my power or strength. It's God working through you. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 12. He's saying, so then death worketh in us. It was death to me to do that. Death to my desires, my ambitions, my strength. But it was so that the life of Christ might be manifested. One of the hardest things I do in preaching is many times I have to choose a text. And I've studied the Bible for years and looked in the Bible, but it's hard for me to depend on God and wait upon God for what he wants me to preach on because it's death to my own strength and abilities and knowledge. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't study and a preacher shouldn't study. You know, there was a preacher one time that told Charles Spurgeon, he said, I have no time in sermon preparation. He says, I just pick a text out of the Bible and preach on it and think nothing of it. And Spurgeon said, yeah, well, I've talked to a number of your people and they think nothing of it either. So I'm not saying that that's the way you're to operate in the ministry, you know, of the Word. I would not teach that. I've studied and read and meditated on the Word of God many times. But I'm talking about choosing a text to preach on. Sometimes God makes me wait. And on rare occasions, He makes you preach extemporaneously. I know Brother Z, he had a bonfire with the young people. He had not planned to preach, but God burdened him and led him, I want you to preach. And then he preached extemporaneously on God, our God is a consuming fire. And God used it. And he kept preaching and preaching. Sometimes God will do that. And he experienced the power of God working through him. And God will do that. And that's what I'm saying is, it's not just for preachers. It's for you too. And being led of God and being willing to serve God and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you to experience the dying of the Lord Jesus. And you'll be asked to do things that'll be death to your selfish ambition, death to your pride, death to yourself. But it will be life-giving. And the manifestation of Jesus will come forth through you, and God will use you in other people's lives. And that is what God wants us to do. And so let me just say, have you been doing that? Have you been dying to live? That means that you understand these two aspects of Christ and getting to know Christ. That means that you are to be willing repeatedly to be led into those situations of experiencing death to self. And that means, number three, that you are experiencing people sharing. Listen, how the life of Jesus is using you to impact other people's lives. That's what He wants. All the time. Not just on Sunday. Not just at certain time. But throughout the week. May God bless you and help you to do that. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. And we've been talking about, are you